نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما. سورة الفرقان. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. تبارك الذي نزل الفرقان على عبده ليكون للعالمين نذيرا. الذي له ملك السماوات والأرض ولم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك وخلق كل شيء فقدره تقديرا. Blessed is he who sent down the criterion to his slave Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he may be a warner to the world. He to whom belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth, and who has begotten no son, and for whom there is no partner in the dominion. He has created everything and has measured it exactly according to its due measurements. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts by praising himself, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of his greatest blessing upon us, which is what? الَّذِي نَزَّلَ الْفُرْقَانَ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ. Who sent down the Furqan. What exactly is meant by Furqan? Furqan comes from the letters Faraqa. Faraqa means when you divide something. So Furqan then is that which teaches us to distinguish between truth and falsehood. As Allah tells us, Hudan lil muttaqin, guidance for the Allah conscious. See, in this surah we get to learn the purpose of the Quran. So Allah doesn't start by saying, blessed is he who sent down the book, or blessed is he who sent down the guidance, Al-Furqan. This is the purpose of the Quran. It teaches us to distinguish between that which is right and between that which is wrong. Ala abdihi, upon his slave. Who is the slave that is being spoken of here? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now again we see that Allah has linked the Quran and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Otherwise Allah could have simply said, blessed is he who sent down the criterion so that it may be a warner to the worlds. Why did Allah mention the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam here? To remind us that in order to understand the Quran, in order to act upon the Quran, in order to implement the Quran, we need the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wa sallam. People say nowadays, oh, I've read the Quran. I know what's in the Quran. Don't tell me. And I don't need the hadith because I don't know which hadith are accurate and which aren't. And people have invented a whole lot of lies about how all the hadith collections were burnt and ahadith are mostly fabricated. And they say it's enough that you read the Quran yourself. For us to say that we can understand the Quran better than the being upon whom it was revealed 1400 years ago is nothing short of ridiculous folly. Who are we to say that, well, I can understand this Quran better than the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon whom it was revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah says, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي نَزَّلَ الْفُرْقَانَ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ, upon his slave. Once Hazrat Aisha was asked about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's conduct, his behavior, and she replied simply, his behavior was the Quran. كَانَ خُلُقُهُ الْقُرْآنَ. He lived the Quran. He didn't just preach it. He wasn't just a vessel that conveyed the message and that's it. No, he acted upon it. He demonstrated to us how we can live our life by this Quran. And why? For those Arabs who lived 1400 years ago, لِيَكُونَ لِلْعَالَمِينَ نَذِيرًا. So he may be a warner for the entire world. Now you might say, well, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has died. So how then can he warn the world? That mission, that torch has been handed to us. كَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. Thus have we made you a moderate nation, so that you may be witnesses over mankind. This legacy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For prophets don't leave behind land or wealth that others inherit. They leave behind legacies of knowledge. So he handed this legacy of his to us. And what have we done with it? Now you look at the beauty of the Quran, that in one ayah, Allah has told us so many things. Blessed is he who sent down the criterion. First Allah reminds us, Alhamdulillah. Then Allah tells us that this Quran will teach you what is right and what is wrong. Then Allah tells us, Ala abdihi, upon his slave. Not even upon his Rasul, upon his slave. Because sometimes people exaggerate the status of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah reminds us first and foremost, he was Allah's slave. He was a human being. And then Allah tells us the mission of the Ummah. ليكون للعالمين نذيرا. So he can be a warner for mankind. Who is Allah? Why should we carry out this mission? He to whom belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth, and who has begotten no son, and for whom there is no partner in the dominion. وَخَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. He has created everything. فَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا. And he has measured it exactly. Everything in perfect proportion. Now we can look at whatever Allah has created, whether the sun, the moon, the stars, ourselves. If you look at a little newborn child when it's born, how perfectly the child is proportioned. Every tiny finger so perfect in its proportion. فَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا. It is Allah who granted everything that perfect proportion. If we think about it, were our planet to be a little farther away from the sun, or a little closer, we could not live on earth. Were the sun's rays to be of a slightly different composition, they would be lethal. Were our planet a little bit smaller, it could not retain the atmosphere necessary to preserve life. And were it bigger, then the atmosphere would include poisonous gases such as ammonia. And the small size of the planet alone allows these gases to escape. Everything has been created in accordance with that perfect balance and measure known to Rabbul Alameen. Yet they have taken besides him other gods. Look at the incredulity in Allah's words. Allah tells us about himself. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is none like him. See, as I mentioned earlier, إِلَهٌ comes from the word أَلِهَةٌ, which means to astonish. إِلَهٌ is the being who does astonishing feats, amazing feats. Have any of us done things such as Allah has described in verse number 2? And Allah says, yet they have taken besides them other gods? Is that how steeped in ignorance they are? Is that how foolish they are? They can't even figure it out when there is none like Allah, when there is none like Allah's creation. Then how can they equate human beings with Allah? Whether good or pious or prophets or saints or martyrs, they equate others with their Lord, who is the Rabb, who has created everything, who is nourishing it, sustaining it, who created nothing but are themselves created, and possess neither harm nor benefit for themselves, and possess no power of causing death, nor giving life, nor of raising the dead. In other words, Allah says, why don't these people think about those whom they're worshipping? Now we need to remember that there are different kinds of worship. There's a kind of worship where I go to a grave and I pray to that peer or that buzurg or that martyr to grant me abundance and wealth or grant me children or whatever. That's one form of worship, shirk. There's another form of shirk when I obey anyone other than Allah. I hear the azan for Fajr. I know I should get up and pray. I know Allah's told me to pray, but I'm too tired, so I'll read Qaza when I get up. Who am I obeying here, Allah or my own nafs? My own soul, my own desires. If I am obeying my own desires, then that too is a form of shirk. Those who disbelieve say, this Quran is nothing but a lie that the Prophet ﷺ has invented, and others have helped him at it. And that's what some Orientalists would have us believe too, that Muhammad ﷺ was this brilliant man who lived 1400 years ago and came up with this amazing book. To say that the Quran is the work of the Prophet ﷺ is to strike at the roots of Iman. Even if they're saying that he was so brilliant, he came up with this book. Because what is our Iman? الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. We believe in the unseen. We believe that Allah has written this book. Those who disbelieve say this Quran is nothing but a lie that he has invented and others have helped him at it. In fact, they have produced unjust, wrong things and a lie. And they say, Asatir ul-Awwaleen, tales of the ancient people, which he has written down, and they are dictated to him morning and afternoon. قُلْ أَنزَلَهُ الَّذِي يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Allah says, say, this Quran has been sent down by him who knows the secret of the heavens and the earth. This was the real reason that the Prophet ﷺ was unlettered, so that none should be able to say that he wrote this Quran. Yet still some people have invented theories and stories that no, these Christian scholars used to dictate this book to him. Allah says this Quran has been sent down by him who knows the secret of the heavens and the earth. Indeed, he is all forgiving, most merciful. Now Allah tells us some of the propaganda that they invented about him in those days. And we find a lot of propaganda against the Prophet ﷺ in our day as well. And the sad fact is that Muslims nowadays have an apologetic attitude about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because we've been brainwashed into thinking that they are speaking the truth and not this Quran. These people say, why does this messenger eat food and walk about in the markets as we? Why is not an angel sent down to him to be a warner with him? Or why has not a treasure been granted to him? Or why has he not a garden whereof he may eat? And the wrongdoers say, you follow none but a man bewitched. Unzur, kaifa darabu lakal amsal. See how they coin similitudes for you? Like people who say that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam a jinn, na'uzu billah. And they've come up with these sick, weird theories, trying to prove that when he used to speak the Quran, he was in a fit. He was going through an epileptic fit and he didn't really know what he was saying. Allah says, see how they coin similitudes for you? They have gone astray and they cannot find the right path. Blessed be he who, if he wills, will grant you better than all that, gardens under which rivers flow, and will grant you palaces. Their main objection was, well, how come he is suffering so much? And in this world we also say, well, if Islam is on the right path, if Muslims are the chosen ones of Allah, then why are the Muslims suffering so much? Allah says, worldly suffering or worldly prosperity is no guarantee of Allah's anger or love. What have we learned? نَبْلُوكُمْ بِالشَّرِّ وَالْخَيْرِ فِتْنَةً. We test you both by evil days and by good days. Both are a test. Wealth is a test, just as adversity, just as misfortune is a test. What then is the truth of the matter? بَلْ كَذَّبُوا بِالسَّاعَةً. They denied ya. They don't want to change their lives. They don't want to change their actions, their conversations. So it's much easier to spend their time coming up with excuses to disobey. Allah says the truth of the matter is they deny the hour. They're not interested in preparing for the day of judgment. And for those who deny the hour, we have prepared a flaming fire. When it sees them from a far place, they will hear its raging and its roaring. This is so frightening. You get the image as if hell can actually spot its victims. And when they shall be thrown into a narrow place thereof, chained together, they will call out for destruction. When do we call out for destruction or death? When we feel we can't bear it anymore. I wish I could die. Allah says, exclaim not today for one destruction, but exclaim for many destructions. Why will they be punished so severely? Because in the examination hall of this lifetime, they treated it as a joke. And they made fun of the Quran, and they made fun of the Sunnah, and they made fun of the people who followed the Quran and Sunnah. And they said, oh, let's have a good time first and then we'll think about it. So on that day they will pay for this heedlessness. قُلْ أَذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ أَمْ جَنَّةُ الْخُلْدِ. Ask them, is that torment better or the paradise of eternity which is promised to the Allah conscious? It will be theirs as a reward and as a final destination. People say the Quran is so scary, it's full of descriptions of hell. We find in the Quran a perfect balance between encouragement and warning. So wherever Allah mentions hell, Allah mentions Jannah as well. Because some people are so stubborn, they only listen when they are threatened or when they feel frightened. And some people need encouragement and love. So Allah has provided both encouragement and warning in this book. For them there will be therein all that they desire, and they will live therein forever. كَانَ عَلَىٰ رَبِّكَ وَعْدًا مَسْئُولًا. It is a promise binding upon your Lord that must be fulfilled. Just imagine if we were in Jannah. See, we think of Jannah and we think of pious people sitting there and it seems like, you know, there won't be much to do. Allah says for them there will be therein all that they desire. Any dreams that they might have seen. All forms of luxury. And above all, what will be the most beautiful aspect of Jannah? Salam. La khawfun alayhim wa la hum yahzanun. No fears, no tensions, no frustrations. La hum yahzanun. Nor will they have any griefs. See, in this worldly life, even if we're having some happy times, there's always some fly in the ointment, something to mar joy, some regret. I wish that could have happened. I wish she could be with me. You know, some regret that makes your happiness unfulfilled, incomplete. Allah says, for them there will be therein all that they desire. And they will live therein forever. وَيَوْمَ يَحْشُرُهُمْ. And on the day when Allah will gather them together, and that which they worship besides Allah. And worship means obedience. Worship means dua. He will say, was it you who misled these slaves, or did they themselves stray from the right path? Now from this ayat we understand that on the day of judgment, Allah will gather together all the people and that which they used to worship, all the good people they used to worship, like people who worship Hazrat Ali or the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for that matter, or any saint or scholar who is now passed away, and they have bestowed titles such as Ganj Baksh and Bari Imam upon them. Allah will ask these good people, now this is very important, was it you who misled these my slaves, or did they themselves stray from the right path? Why will Allah ask them? Doesn't He know? He knows that they did not mislead them, but He wants that the people who fell into this error should listen to their so-called deities deny all knowledge of their worship. قَالُوا سُبْحَانَكَ They will say, glory be to you. It was not for us to take any protectors besides you, but you gave them and their fathers comfort till they forgot the warning and became a lost people. Now imagine their fright, the fright of those good people, and they say, Subhanallah, we never told them to worship us. We simply tried to connect them to you. But what happened to these people then? An abundance of worldly luxuries led them astray. فَقَدْ كَذَّبُوكُمْ Thus they will belie you. Regarding what you say, then you can neither avert the punishment nor get help. And whosoever among you does wrong, does zulm. What zulm is this? The greatest form of zulm is when we take Allah's right of soul worship and grant it to someone else, whether it's a prophet or an angel or a jinn or whoever. Allah says, whoever amongst you does zulm, نُذِقْهُ عَذَابًا كَبِيرًا We will make him taste a great torment. And what is wrong with these people? Why don't they understand? We never sent before you any of the messengers, but indeed they ate food and walked in the markets. And we have made some of you as a trial for others. أَتَصْبِرُونَ Will you then have patience? وَكَانَ رَبُّكَ بَصِيرًا And your Lord is ever all-seer of everything. Allah says, why don't people understand that a prophet is not supposed to be someone immortal or someone free from human wants or free from human needs? He's not supposed to be this supernatural being. He's an ordinary human being, and that's the purpose of prophethood, to send people someone whom they can follow. Now imagine if Allah had sent an angel to us. What would we say? Well, how can we follow him? He was an angel. We're not angels. It wouldn't have been practical. It wouldn't have been feasible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have sent anyone other than an ordinary human being. Innama ana basharum mithlukum. What was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told to tell us? Again and again, I am a human being just like you. And your Lord is ever watching. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا Those who do not expect a meeting with us, people who are not interested in the day of judgment, oh, don't talk to me of death. I find death so scary. What do they say? Why are not the angels sent down to us? Or why do we not see our Lord? Many people say, well, why does Allah want us to worship Him? And if He wants us to worship Him, why can't we see Him? And why can't we, you know, have some proof or be shown some miracle? Allah says, لَقَدِ اسْتَكْبَرُوا What is behind their statement? Their statements that, well, we want to see Allah or we want to see the angels? They are arrogant. What is takabbur? The Prophet ﷺ defined it as rejecting the truth and despising others. And this was the satanic crime, wasn't it? When Allah commanded Shaitan to bow down before Adam alayhi salam, what was the sequence of events that followed? Abba, he refused. I'm not going to obey Allah. Wastakbara, and he was arrogant, that I don't see the sense in this, so I'm not going to follow Allah. Wakana min al kafirin. What does arrogance lead to? To kufr, to disbelief, to disobedience. Laqad istakbaru. They think too highly of themselves. That's why they're passing foolish statements like, we want to see Allah, why couldn't we have seen an angel? Why couldn't the Quran have been revealed to us? Allah says they think too highly of themselves, and they are scornful with great pride. يَوْمَ يَرَوْنَ الْمَلَائِكَ On the day they will see the angels. People who say, we want to see the angels, we want a clear-cut sign, Allah says, you will see the angels. But on that day, there will be no good news for the criminals. Now look at the words Allah has used here. He's not said for the non-Muslims. We like to complacently think, well, we are Muslims, so we'll be really happy that day. Because we'll run to the Prophet ﷺ and he'll save us. Allah says there will be no good tidings for the criminals. Now that could be anyone who disobeyed Allah, anyone who sinned against Allah. On that day when they see the angels, there will be no joy in their hearts. And the angels will say all kind of glad tidings are forbidden to you. وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْصُورًا. We shall turn to whatever deeds these criminals did, and we shall make such deeds as scattered, floating particles of dust. Look at the vivid imagery Allah employs. Scattered, floating particles of dust. What does this image convey? No substance. You can hardly see them. Forget weighing them. Forget being rewarded for them. You can't even see them properly. Elsewhere in the Quran, Allah tells us, the example of those who disbelieved, their deeds are like ashes. And ashes that are scattered by a stormy wind. لَا يَقْدِرُونَ عَلَى شَيْءٍ مِّمَّا كَسَبُوا. They won't have control over anything that they have earned. Allah tells us that when we are sinning repeatedly, when we are disobeying Him repeatedly, we are passing arrogant statements like, well, when is this day of judgment going to come? So why can't we see Allah? Then we needn't expect any reward on that day. We shall make such deeds as they did as scattered, floating particles of dust. What gives the deed stability? What gives it substance? Iman. And purity of intention and the way we did it. Iman and following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sunnah. For instance, if I'm praying, but if I've invented a method of prayer of my own, that deed's not going to have any stability on that day. Or if I'm praying properly the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed, but I'm praying so that people admire me and people look at me and think, oh, how pious she is, then that deed's not going to have any stability as well. Ashabul Jannah. Now Allah tells us about the people of paradise. Again and again Allah places the choices before us. Which do we wish to be? People of Jannah or, God forbid, the people of hell? The dwellers of paradise will on that day have the best abode and will have the fairest of places for repose. وَيَوْمَ تَشَقَّقُ السَّمَاءُ بِالْغَمَامِ وَنُزِّلَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ تَنْزِيلًا الْمُلْكُ يَوْمَئِذٍ الْحَقُّ لِلرَّحْمَنِ. Remember the day when the heavens shall be rent asunder with clouds and the angels will be sent down with a grand descending. The sovereignty on that day will be the true sovereignty belonging to Ar-Rahman. Allah alone is Maliki Yawmiddin. In a hadith Qudsi, we find that on that day, Allah will crumple up the heavens in His hand and say, أنا الملك, I am the king. أين ملوك الأرض, where are the kings of the earth? أين الجبارون, where are the arrogant ones? أين المتكبرون, where are the proud ones? The tyrants, the oppressors. Allah says, the sovereignty on that day will belong to Ar-Rahman. See, in this world we sin and we get away with it. We disobey Allah, we lie, we cheat, we gossip, and nothing happens, so we think, well, fine, we're getting away with it. Allah tells us of that day. Accountability is for that day, and it will be a hard day for the disbelievers. And one aspect of kufr is disobedience. It's not just those who say we don't believe in Allah, it's also those who don't obey Allah. Remember the day when the wrongdoer will bite at his hands. When do we bite at our hands? When do we wring our hands? In extreme tension, in extreme despair, when you're scared out of your wits. So people start biting their nails or they start wringing their hands because they're so tense they don't know how to react. He will say, oh, would that I had taken a path with the messenger. Ya laytani ittakhadhtu ma rasuli sabila. How can we take a path with the messenger, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He's died. This means that we follow his sunnah and we support his mission and we live the way he lived. We live for the cause for which he lived. Ya waylata laytani lam attakhidh fulanan khalila. Now look at the two regrets that this man will utter. Now let's not just think of other people and pass judgments and say, yes, I can imagine so and so saying this. Let's think of ourselves. If on that day we realize that all our life was just wasted. We just squandered those precious moments away and we don't even remember what happened. Then on that day, what will be the two greatest regrets? that I wish that I had supported the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I wish I had served Islam. I wish I had followed the Sunnah. And I wish that I had never taken so-and-so as an intimate friend. Now look at the two ayahs. There's a very important link between them. What is the greatest obstacle in the path of our obeying Allah? People, our friends. Come on, don't be such a bore. Don't tell me that's all you spend your time doing, reading the Quran. Let's have some fun first. Our friends are the people who are most responsible for influencing our actions and our thoughts and behavior. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once said, "Al-mar'u 'ala dini khalilihi." A man is upon the religion of his friend. If we want to know what our level of iman truly is, just take a look at your best friend. If you want to analyze what you truly are, what your perceptions, what your essence is, just look at your best friend and you'll find out for yourself. Now look at this man. He's not saying, "I wish that I hadn't done this." He's saying, "I wish I hadn't taken such and such a person for my intimate friend." Not just a casual acquaintance, intimate friend. What is Allah teaching us? That we need two things for guidance. We need the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we need good company. Allah tells us in Surah Al-Kahf, وَاسْفِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِ. Keep yourself with those who call to their Lord morning and evening, desiring His pleasure, and do not turn away from them, wishing for the life of this world. And do not obey one whose heart we have made heedless about our remembrance. وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَاهُ وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا. Do not obey one who follows his own desires, who does whatever he feels like doing. If he feels like sleeping, he'll sleep. If he feels like eating the whole day long, that's what he'll do. All day long, he's just satisfying his own desires. وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا. And his matters are excessive. He exceeds the limits in everything. Allah is teaching us, be careful of your friends, lest your friends take you on the path to hell. Now, what do we find in the Quran, the supreme example of friendship? وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَاهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. Allah took Ibrahim as a friend. Whose friendship should we be seeking? Allah's friendship. اللَّهُ وَلِيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. It's not difficult to find, but we need to seek Him. Allah says, come towards me walking and I'll come towards you running. You draw near me one hand span, I'll draw near you an arm's length. But we need to take that first step. We need to seek His friendship. People say, "Oh, I've left my Islam for my old age. I'm too young to obey Allah. I'm too young to focus on Allah as yet." We don't know when we'll die. اتخذ الله إبراهيم خليلا. Allah took Ibrahim as an intimate friend, the same word as is used in desire. And that friendship is one that will be a source of joy and blessing and the cause of entering Jannah. This man goes on to say, لَقَدْ أَضَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ. Why is he regretting having taken so-and-so as a close friend? Because he led me astray from the reminder. He distracted me from the Quran. He persuaded me not to attend the Quranic gatherings. He persuaded me not to follow the Quran. Come on, you're too young for this. Let's have some fun first. After it had come to me, وَكَانَ شَيْطَانُ لِلْإِنسَانِ خَذُولًا. And shaitan is to man ever a deserter in the hour of need. Why is Allah mentioning shaitan here? Now look at the sequence of the verses. The first regret that this man will have will be that he did nothing for Islam. He never followed the Sunnah, he never supported Islam, he never served Islam. The second regret he will have will be over his choice of friends. And why? Because his friend distracted him from the Quran. His friend persuaded him not to listen to the Quran. Maybe his friend found the Quran boring and so he persuaded him that you two stay away, for my sake. وَكَانَ شَيْطَانُ لِلْإِنسَانِ خَزُولًا. Look at the conclusion that he arrives at, that shaitan deserts man in his hour of need. Any relationship, any friendship which we base on other than love of Allah will fail us on that day. أَلَخِلَّاءُ يَوْمَئِذٍ بَعْدُهُمْ لِبَعْدٍ عَدُوٍ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah tells us quite plainly that on that day the best of friends, friends that you would die for and that you think would die for you, don't be deluded. On that day, all best friends will hate each other. Why will they hate each other? because they helped each other sin, they helped each other disobey Allah, they helped each other stay away from Allah. So they'll blame each other. It's your fault that I didn't pray that day. And it's your fault that I stayed away from the Quran. You're the one who led me astray. Will all friendships fail? إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ Except those who are Allah conscious. When you form a friendship with someone for love of Allah, so maybe you can teach them something about Allah, or they can teach you something about Allah, or you want to help them for Allah's sake, then that alone is the enduring relationship. We find in a hadith that one day this man was going to meet someone, and the angels asked him on the way that, why are you going to meet this man? And he said, for Allah's sake. So the angel said, is there any other reason? He said, no, I just love him for Allah's sake. And the angel said, Allah too loves you for this relationship. This is what we need to focus on. Man ahabba lillah, whoever loves for Allah's sake. We need to love for Allah's sake. We need to love people so that either we can help them get closer to Allah or they can help us get closer to Allah. Because remember, shaitan will desert us in our hour of need. All other relationships will not endure.